Looming over all of these world events is one big issue that was largely ignored on the campaign trail this year, climate change. And much of that has to do with the economic crisis of the past 4 years. This week, former Vice President Al Gore argued that now the election is over, President Obama should use his mandate to begin to take a hard look at the issue of climate change. I spoke with a former vice president this week and asked him what he proposes.
I think it should be the top priority. I do understand fully that a solution for this near-term problem of the fiscal cliff is going to occupy their attention. I'm under no illusions about that, but that's going to be dealt with in fairly short order.
Explain how, if you were in the same position, and let's talk about this president for a moment. He faces essentially a Congress, as you know, in which a large number of the members either deny the reality of climate change or deny that it's man-made. So how would you sort of see the president trying to convince that part of the Congress to support potentially serious measures to tackle it?
Well, it's not the first time that we've faced political difficulty in trying to solve a really important challenge. And that's one of the reasons we have a president in our Constitution, to lead the country. And if I could gently challenge part of your premise, I believe that there has been some movement, both in public opinion and among some Republicans. I've heard them say it. Many of them say it privately, and fewer of them say it publicly. But I think that in the aftermath of the historic drought that affected 65% of our country this year, in the wake of Hurricane Sandy and the superstorm it became, only 1 year after another so-called once-in-a-hundred-year storm also devastated the Northeast, after the horrific fires in the American West last year, after $10 billion-plus climate-related disasters that have wreaked havoc in so many states, it is now a reality that is very difficult to deny. And I think that more and more people in both political parties are taking a hard look at it and saying, yes, we really do need to do something.
What if nothing is done over the next 4 years? What do you believe the consequences of that would be?
Well, the scientific community is in a better position than I am to answer that question. But you've probably heard them say, as I have, that the longer we wait, the heavier the consequences will be, the more risk we run, and the more difficult it will be what we're eventually going to have to do anyway. We put 90 million tons of global warming pollution into the atmosphere every day as if it's an open sewer. It traps as much energy every 24 hours as the equivalent energy from 400,000 Hiroshima atomic bombs. It's a big planet, but that's a lot of energy. And that's what's making the storms stronger. That's what's making the droughts deeper. That's what's making the floods more destructive. That's what's changing the weather patterns. So we can wish it away, we can pretend it doesn't exist, but none of that changes the reality. We have to deal with the reality.
Your film, An Inconvenient Truth, had an enormous impact on public opinion in the United States, and then over the next few years after that, you saw how the belief in climate change once again became very controversial, that many people stopped believing that it was something that was real or that was man-made. Did that discourage you?
Well, the economic crisis certainly intervened, but at no point was there less than a majority saying that we've got to act on this, and it's back up now nearly to 70%. And again, regardless of what the polls say or the political analyses imply, it's reality. We've got to deal with it.
That's former Vice President and Nobel Peace Prize recipient Al Gore. Mr. Vice President, thank you.
Thank you.